You know, this season that we're in right now with changing from summer to fall, how many of you enjoy this season right now? How many of you enjoy the season that comes after this? But I'm a summer guy. I could go with summer all year long. Our kids live, as you know, if you don't know, one in L.A. and with his wife, and one in Florida with her husband. And sometimes I'm thinking, and we're in Pennsylvania. So I enjoy the seasons. They change, right? Here in central PA, you know, that we see colors. You know, that song he sung about the sunrise and the colors. And it's beautiful, you know, when the seasons change like this. But, you know, no matter where we are geographically, no matter where we live in this world, isn't it true that we all walk through different seasons in our lives? Whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. How many of you know your body changes as you get older? Things aren't like they used to be 20, 30 years ago, right? And when you're young, I was talking about this with somebody actually at the hospital yesterday. When we're young, we think our bodies can handle everything, right? And then we get older and it begins to catch up with us. Yeah, our mind still thinks that way, but yeah, we change and seasons come and seasons go. Some in our lives, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, some of those seasons last longer than others. Don't you wish, now Bob doesn't wish this, but don't you wish the winters were shorter than the spring and the summer?
Yes.
I do. Unless you like the winters. But sometimes those seasons that we walk through in life that are really hard can be very difficult. You ever been in one of those in your life? If you haven't, hold on, because you will be, right? We all go through seasons. You know, any of us could get a phone call today or something could happen right today that would put us in a season of life that we weren't even expecting. Do you think any season ever catches God off guard? It wasn't like, oh my, I didn't know that was going to happen to them. He's well aware of the things that we walk through. Now look at that verse 11. I want to focus on this verse that Solomon, the preacher as he's called, this man that had lived it all, he was seasoned in his life, he had tried it all, and he basically writes this book of what it all comes down to. But look at this verse 11 that he writes here with me, if you would. He says, he, God, has made everything what? Beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, it says he has made everything beautiful in our time, in its time. How many of you wish that sometimes you're like, oh, I wish this season would end. Lord, why isn't this season ending now? And wouldn't it be great if it were in our time, or would it? Is it true that he takes us through the seasons of life for a reason? How many of you have went through a season where you're scratching your head thinking, why am I going through this? What is the purpose for it? And I believe that sometimes we may never understand here on earth. But this verse here in 11, you know, we may not understand the season right now that we're walking through, but in time, in his time, God will make it beautiful. And you may say, well, when? Well, it's his time, not our time. And waiting is sometimes so difficult, isn't it? Especially during difficult seasons in life. You know, I'm learning something driving this road 192 more down here, 3 miles from home, that it's hard for some people to wait behind me when I'm driving. And sometimes I'll be going 55, yes, even 65, and on this road, and guess what? There are people flying by me to get to the light in Center Hall to wait. right? It's like, can you not wait for 1 minute? And how many of you know I'm guilty of things that I can't wait for? You know, you go through a drive-through, you do this, you do that. But isn't it true, seasons in life that are very difficult are very hard to wait till the end. Sometimes you just want to give up, right? Look at this verse. I don't know if you added this in, Amy. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Turn back there with me if you would, or ahead in your Bibles. Isaiah 40, 31. In this verse, it's a really good one to remember when you're going through a hard season in life. Isaiah writes here, but those who what? Those who wait on the Lord. Now that's a promise. This is a promise here. It says, shall renew their strength. That means that they were weak, right? If you don't have any strength and you need your strength renewed, it says, wait upon the Lord and he shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it's real hard at times to wait. Now, we know that Romans 8:28 says this, if you want to turn there. Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that how many things? That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, does all things mean all things? Yes. How many of you ever, you know, I when I was a children's pastor, Dalton probably remembers this whenever he was in kids' church, maybe. At one time I had a table up there with all the ingredients to make a cake. Now, how many of you like the end ingredient of the cake? You'd probably eat most of it, right? And it tastes really great. But the things that go into that cake, you know, sometimes the sugar is nice if you took your finger and tasted it. How many of you would take the vanilla extract and drink it and say, oh, that tastes great? You wouldn't do that, right? Or the flour or whatever else you put in it. Now, some of those ingredients are really good. Some are really difficult to taste. But in the end, it tastes what? Wonderful. But here's what life is like. We go through things that taste like sugar that are great. Don't you love those seasons? Oh man, that's so good. Or it tastes like the frosting and oh my, I'm good, I'm great. But how about the things that taste like that vanilla extract or that flour by itself? Isn't it true that so often in those seasons that we just want to say, yep, I'm done. You ever been there before? But in time, he will make all things beautiful in the end. It says that, now, that verse in Romans 8 says, he works all things together for good. For who? For everyone? For those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. See, all things don't work together for good for everyone. It's for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In the midst of a battle, when you struggle, God will somehow, some way work it together for good if you love God and if you are called according to his purpose. Are you called? Are you called by God? Do you love him? Well, if you do, you can trust him with what you might be going through today. What you're walking through has not surprised the Lord. Now, to be honest, you don't have to say what it is. How many of you right now are walking through a difficult season? Okay. Anybody else? How many of you know that seasons come and seasons go, and if you're not walking through one now, one might be coming later. So hold on to this. But in every season we walk through, in every difficult season, we have to remember that nothing catches him off guard and nothing is too hard for the Lord God Almighty to accomplish in your life through this difficult season that you're going through. If you're going through a good season, how many of you are there today? How many of you have no idea what season you're in? You know, good seasons, we usually get through them because we're not struggling. We're just coasting, But difficult seasons are so hard because it's a struggle. Because then we try and get through it sometimes in our own strength. And it becomes more difficult. But when we trust and wait on the Lord, He will renew our strength. But so often we try and fight the battle on our own. If you're going through a good season right now, enjoy it. Remember, though, seasons come and seasons go. There's a time for weeping, a time for laughing, a time for mourning, a time for dancing. Do you get that one? A time to keep and a time to throw away. How many of you are savers? You like to keep things. How many of you know my wife says sometimes it's time to throw it away? You know, sometimes we keep, but sometimes we throw away. Seasons come and seasons go. The goal during the hard seasons of our lives, the goal is to not give up. The goal is to not quit. The goal is to know that Jesus Christ is fighting for you, that He is the one that will give us victory because He's already won the battle. Are you with me there, church? Look down in Romans 8:31. A little bit further down there in Romans 8, and you probably know this verse. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us," what does it say? "Who can be against us?" Now, let me ask you the question. Does that mean that nobody will be against us? No. That doesn't mean that, because it doesn't mean that there won't be ones against us. But in comparison to God, it's saying if God is for us, then all these other things that seem to be against us are very minimal because God is so big. So if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? And it's where we place our focus. Is it on the difficult things or those that are against us? Or is our focus on God, where we could say, hey, if He is for us, then who in the world or what in the world can come against me? And so in Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul writes this. Look at this verse here. Remember this verse, you know, holding on to this at different times in my life, because how many of you ever grow weary? You know, you just want to okay, that's it. Look at this verse here. Paul writes this. He says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So don't give up. Don't grow weary. It says don't even let us not grow weary while we're doing good. And that is possible. Do you know that? Sometimes people talk about burnout. You ever been there before? And usually it happens when we're doing things what? In our own strength. See, that says don't grow weary while doing what? While doing good. We're good at burning ourselves out, right? We're good at that. But to not grow weary while doing good can only happen when we wait upon the Lord, because He will do what? He will renew your strength. He will give you wings like eagles. He will make sure that you don't faint and you keep running. But so often we grow weary or we get burnt out because we're doing it in our own strength. 2 Corinthians 11. You don't have to go there if you don't want to, but do you think Paul had seasons where he felt like quitting? I think Paul had seasons where he was just like, wow. You know, it says in this chapter of 2 Corinthians 11, a few of the things Paul went through. Five times it says he received 40 stripes minus one. And that means he was whipped 39 times, five times. I don't know about you, but that would be pretty difficult. Three times it says he was what? He was beaten with rods. It says that he was once stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. It says he was weary and he was sleepless in hunger and thirst. And it says, besides all these other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And then he says, who is weak and I am not weak? Paul says, who is weak and you don't think I'm weak? And then he said, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? See, Paul had these battles and these hills and valleys as well. And he says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. And see, Paul had seasons of life as well. So the second part of this verse, go back to Ecclesiastes 3 with me, if you would. Ecclesiastes 3, the second part of this verse says this. Yes, he will make everything beautiful in its time. But then Solomon writes, he has put eternity where? In their hearts. He, God, has put eternity in their hearts. Have you ever spoken to someone who wonders about eternity or where they'll go after this earth is over, after their life is done? Anybody ever talk to somebody about that? I read a post by somebody recently that they said this, when you die, you die. That's it. There's nothing else. It's just over. But you know what? He's still thinking about eternity, right? When you go to a funeral, and it's a wonderful opportunity at a funeral to share about eternity in heaven and hell, because what is everybody out there sitting thinking about? Where they're going. And why is that? This verse here that Solomon writes, he says that God has put eternity where? In our hearts. And because of that, God has placed in every human being an inherent desire for more than just the earthly things of this world and the temporal things. And that is why people who chase material things all the time and the pleasures of this earth, they never fully satisfy them. Why? Because he has placed eternity where? In our hearts. And because of that, we always wonder if there's more. It's like when you purchase something new. Anybody ever buy a new car? Brand new car right off the lot. My first car in what would it have been? 1982. Wyatt, you just said that you just got your license, right? And you drove here this morning in the rain. How was that? Now, when I was 16, I had some money and I put down on a brand new Chevy Chevette. And it was a Chevy Chevette scooter. Yeah, it was a brand. And I remember it was $5,000-some. And I bought it in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, put some money down. And here's the deal. I got to order what color I wanted, the interior. I went to the dealership, ordered it. And I had to wait probably a week or two to get the car. And when they called and they said, your car is in, do you think a 16-year-old boy was pretty excited to go and get that car? Oh, my. I went and got it eventually. I don't know if his sunroof was in it or not, but we put that in. I even put the back tires up, put these spacers in the struts or whatever. And I had this thing looking as cool as a Chevette could look. And I loved that car. And now I had, though, after that, a car payment, because I had so much money to put down for my paper route, but then I had a payment to make every month. How many of you know, probably after 2-3 years, the car wasn't as shiny and as exciting as when I got that phone call that said, hey, your car is ready. You can come get it. Why is that? Because the temporary things of this earth, no matter what it is, after a while, what do? They don't satisfy anymore. That's why eternity has been placed in our hearts, because we long for something more. And no matter who you run into during your days, during the week, they're all wanting more. And they're all saying there has to be more, even though they may be chasing the things of the world. The earthly will never satisfy, because the eternity is in our hearts. And even though our body will wear out and perish one day, right? Our spirit will live forever, and we will one day receive a new resurrected body. How many of you could say amen to that? See, this body will not last forever. I'm not telling you anything new there. The question that everyone thinks about, because eternity is in their hearts, is this. What will happen after this earth? What will happen when I leave this place? You know, Romans 1 verse 20, Amy, I think that's below the next slide, but Romans 1:20 says this. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What this verse is saying, that even since the creation of the world, what is his invisible attributes are now clearly seen by what is he's made. And so eternity that's in our hearts, we have no excuse not to believe just by looking around. Have you ever just looked around and said, God, you're amazing, at that sunrise, at the leaves that are changing colors, and so forth and so on? Eternity has been placed in our hearts. And one day, how many of you know, we will leave this earth. A guy yesterday, as I mentioned, in the hospital, is close to dying probably. And I asked him the question, you know, have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? And would you like to do so today? And his grandson was there, and so forth. And you know, he said he would like to do so, and he prayed to receive Christ into his life. And how many of you know? That's what it all comes down to. At the very end of life, it's either you've known the Lord as your Savior or you don't. That is it. Nothing on this earth matters. It's only eternity, because that has been placed in our hearts. And so 1 Corinthians 15, go there with me as I share these verses and wind down here. 1 Corinthians 15. How many of you are excited for the rapture one day? Aren't you? Okay, two of you. All right. We all are, right? I hope so. You know, that could happen today. The rapture could take place today. But these verses here, when Christ comes in the sky and we go to meet him in the air, I believe that these verses are so key in us living for eternity and not for the things of this world. If we could focus on these, look what Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now, how many of you like to read a good mystery? Do you? I'm not a huge mystery person, but I know Gina likes to read mysteries, and you kind of get into the story, and Dalton, you know, you just kind of get lost in that. Well, this says, Paul's about to tell us a mystery. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now, what is Paul talking about, the corruptible and the incorruptible? What does that mean? Anybody want to help me out with that one before I share? What does that mean? We read these verses at funerals and at gravesides all the time. Well, the corruptible is what? It's our body. The incorruptible is what? Our resurrected body that will never die, but we will receive a new resurrected body. Because flesh and blood, what we have right now, that won't enter into the kingdom of heaven, but our new resurrected body that we will receive on that day that Christ comes in the clouds. It says, verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, church, we have to remain steadfast through these seasons of life that are hard, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work. Why? Because our labor is not in vain, and it helps us keep our eyes on eternity. From the beginning of your life, Who was just saying they're getting old this morning? Who was that? Who feels like they're getting old this morning? Okay. Somebody I thought was talking with you. You know, those years have passed so quickly, haven't they? Even, you know, Wyatt, I know you're 16 and driving now, but it was just yesterday that I was getting my Chevy Chevette. And now I'm 53 almost. And so quick, those years go by so fast. And here we are. And see, from the beginning of our lives to the very end of our life, that lifespan in between, has anything we've ever walked through surprised the Lord God Almighty? Has it ever caught him off guard? Has it ever been like, oh my, I didn't know that was going to happen to them? Or, oh my, I didn't know they were going to be feeling that way. No, everything that he has allowed or we walk through is for a purpose. And he will in time, not our time, but his time, make all things beautiful if we trust in him. Solomon said the time to be born and a time to die, and we must trust the Lord with everything in between. Keep your eyes on eternity. There's a verse I'm going to end with here, a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because I don't know about you, but in those hard, difficult seasons, sometimes you can lose your focus real easy. Right? But we got to keep our eyes focused on eternity. Why? Because that's been placed in our hearts. This last verse from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Paul writes here to Timothy and he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those to all who have loved his appearing, or in the NIV it says, who long for his appearing. See, the thing that we have to do and remember through every season of life is not to get caught up so much in that season of life, but keep our eyes on eternity and long for his appearing. Amen? You keep your eyes on him, that he could come back, that he could be returning today. That's what the Bible says.